Okay. I think before the summer we just started Perek Yidanosh. We didn't get too far. We'll just review again. The Chumash tells a story that when Yaakov Avinu was returning back to Eretz Yisrael, so in the middle of the night, HaMalach picked a fight with him and he broke his leg because he moved the Gid Hanoshe. He dislocated his leg and he was limping for a while until he got better. So the Torah says that we should remember this story. What's so significant about remembering the story that the Malach broke his leg? So the two Pshatim and the Rishonim, some Rishonim say we should remember that he had 12 grown children and that they didn't help him out carrying all the packages. He was all alone. He was an old man and the young children didn't help him. So he violated Kibbut Avihim, and that's why the father was mugged. So the Alkein Liochem and Eisol is Gid Anosha. The children of Yaakov Avinu accepted upon themselves as a kapara that they shouldn't eat Gid Anosha, and then it was later given as a mitzvah. We should remember to observe the mitzvah of Kibbut Avihim. That's what some Rishonim interpret. Other Rishonim interpret, no, that the moral of the story is not so much that we violated Kibbut Avihim. The moral of the story that's important to remember is that when Klal Yisrael is engaged with, if there's a conflict between the Jewish people and Teva, so Klal Yisrael is l'mayla min ha-Teva. The Malachim represent Teva, the different kinds of Malachim. The Gemara has a lashon, ein l'cho kalesa v'yesed melamata. Every blade of grass that grows on the ground has a malach melamayla hamakos v'yamalo gadel. So that's the kind of a malach we're talking about, the malachim of Teva. So Klal Yisrael is l'mayla min ha-Teva. Individual people will be killed and will drown and will be murdered and will die, but Klal Yisrael as a nation is l'mayla min ha-Teva. We will always survive. So that's what's to remember. Yankov fights against the Malach, and Yankov wins the fight. Yankov, he broke his leg, but he was injured, but Yankov Avinu wins. Klal Yisrael survives. So that's the Pasuk in Chumash tells about the Gid Anoshe. So the Gid Anoshe, the Mishnah says, applies Bifnei Habayis, Vishalah Bifnei Habayis, and Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Lord does make a difference. Some mitzvahs only apply in Eretz Yisrael. Like the practices. At the end of the Masechta, there's a Perek Hazroa v'Halachayai v'Hakeva. And whenever you shecht a behema, I think it's the next to the last Perek. Not the tenth Perek, not yet. The tenth Perek is Perek Hazroa v'Halachayai v'Hakeva. Whenever you shecht a behema schulen, it doesn't apply when you shecht in Kachem. Whenever you shecht a behema schulen, you're obligated to give certain parts to the Kohanim. So Rashi interprets in the Gemara that the minhag ha'olam is that we only observe that mitzvah in Eretz Yisrael. We don't observe in a Chutz Lords because the minhag ha'olam is that we follow the opinion of that Tana. Other Rishonim disagreed that there is no such thing. There never was such a Tana. It's not right. Some Lubavitcher young man just published a whole book all about Zvela Chayam HaKev. He's encouraging all the Kashrus organizations to insist that when they shecht behemoth, they should give the Zvela Chayam HaKev to the Kohanim, because all the Rishonim disagree with the Rashi. They say that the mitzvah of giving matnas kun as well chayam v'akev applies in chutz lords as well, but some of this there are certain mitzvahs. The agricultural mitzvahs only apply in Eretz Yisrael. We're talking non-agricultural mitzvahs. So Gid Anoshe is not an agricultural mitzvah. So that's what the Mishnah says. It applies equally in Eretz Yisrael and in chutz lords, and applies whether there is a beis hamikdash, there's not a beis hamikdash, and it says it applies bechulin uvemikdashin. That's how the Mishnah says. Whether yishechta behemaschulin or Yeshech the Korban, the din of Gid Anoshe applies. So Rashi and the Mishnah right away has a comment. When the first Rashi on Daf Pei Tes on the base, the first Rashi on the Mishnah Gid Anoshe Bimugdoshim, the Kamon on the very next Omud Pligi board is going to be a Machlekes Amaroim. What does that mean? Ikalaman Yom Afilu Ba'Oilo. In Oilo, nobody eats anything. So the whole thing is burnt on the Mizbech. So there's one opinion in the Gemara coming up. That's what we're going to start there tonight. That even a Korban Oilo, there's an Isar on the Gid Anoshe. An Isar what? You're not allowed to be makrivit on the Mizbech. Why? The Mizbech is not Jewish. Well, why is the Mizbech not allowed to eat the Gid Anoshe? It's tray for Jewish people. What's wrong? So the Gemara says, no, there's a Pasuk in the Novi Yecheskel. The Gemara quotes it on the top of Daf Tzadik Amid Beis. the second line from the top. Pasuk in Yecheskel, the end of Yecheskel speaks about Lasi Lavoi. We're going to build the Bais HaShlishi, and we're going to bring Karbonas, and we'll do Nisach HaYayin, we'll pour Yayin on the Mizbech. So the Yayin that you pour on the Mizbech has to be kosher Yayin. Mimashki Yisrael, what does it mean? Today people call schnapps that's processed, and so they're called Mashki Yisrael. Israeli Mashke. But that's not what it means in Tanakh. Mashke Yisrael means that it has to be kosher wine. It shouldn't be Orla, and it shouldn't be Kloy HaKerem. When you plant a vineyard, so the first 3 years, you're not allowed to eat the grapes. If anything grows, it could be a lot of times hardly anything is going to grow, but if things grow the first 3 years, it's also b'achilo, also b'ano. And then if you planted wheat near the vineyard, so everything becomes kloy hakerem, the grapes become aser, and the grain becomes aser, also b'achilo, also b'ano. So the Mashke Yisrael says, when you want to bring nisach hayayin on the mizbeach, it has to be kosher wine. Not only that Orla and Klarkam happen to be Asa Bahano, even if it would be Mutta Bahano, but it's Asa Bahila, it's Treif. So you're not allowed to bring Treif or Yayin on the Mizbeach. So that's one opinion. We're going to have to discuss it soon. There's one opinion that Rashi quotes, Ikalaman the Amad, there's one opinion on Daf Tzadik HaManal of Hafila B'Korban Oilo, that no one's eating anything. You're not allowed to be Maktir, the Gid Anosha on the Mizbeach, because it's a violation of Mimashki Yisrael, since the Jews are not allowed to eat the Gid Anasha, it's trade, so you're not allowed to be Makrevin on the Mizbech. And Ikal Amandiyam, the other opinion is not, because Shemana Acholim, you're talking about a Korban Shlomim, or a Korban Pesach, or a Korban Chatas V'Oshem, that the Kohanim eat, a Korban that's eaten by somebody. So the prohibition against Jews eating Gid Anasha applies even if it happens to be a Korban, you're still not allowed to eat it, even though there's a mitzvah to eat. The Kohanim have a mitzvah to eat the Besar Chatas V'Yoshem, and the Israelim have a mitzvah to eat the Shlomim and the Korban Pesach, but they have to leave over the Gid Anasha. That they're not.
You can't eat Davening.
Okay. What's the Havaminus? The Gemara says it's an issue of maybe Enisa Chalalisa. Which Isa came first? If first it was, is that possible? Which that we learned before the summer, partially. If it first became Hegdish and then the Gid Anasha developed later, so maybe there's an issue of Enisa Chalalisa. Maybe the Isa, maybe one can argue the Isa Gid Anasha cannot be Chal on top of the Isa Megdosha. So the Gemara says that you don't say like that. You don't say Enisa Chalalisa. That's the question, why not? So that was the first piece of Gemara. Which Issa came first, and can the second Issa be Chal on top of the first Issa?
So would that apply also to the concept of Mosar on the Gid Anasha? You can't eat it, so it's going to be left over.
It will have to be left over, and then you have to burn all the Noisar. So the Gemara is going to explain, you only have to burn Noisar that there was a mitzvah to eat it, and then he left it over by negligence. But let's say there was no mitzvah to eat it in the first place. Gid Anasha is treif. You're not mechuyev to burn it. The parts of the animal that you weren't mechuyev to eat, there was never a mitzvah to eat. So even when you're not allowed to eat it, so you leave it over, so you have no mitzvah to burn it. You can throw it in the garbage. That's what the Gemara is going to discuss.
So, but you wouldn't be over, no, sir.
You would not be
burning
over.
Burning it is the rectification of
right,
the
club. Right. You will not be in violation of the Loisa Sirim and Abuki. You're not allowed to eat it, and then when it's left over, there's no mitzvah to burn it, correct? The Gemara is going to pick up on that. So Rashi tells us that that's the next topic that we're up to now, Daf Tzadik HaMen Aleph. When the Mishnah says the prohibition of Gid Anasha applies to Mugdoshim, it means that you're not allowed to burn the Gid Anasha on the Mizbeach. You have to take the carbon and cut out the Gid Anasha and then burn the whole thing, the carbon oil, then burn it on the Mizbeach. Oh no, the Mizbeach is not Jewish. You can burn, there's no din of the Mashki Yisrael and Amuta Yisrael for some reason or another. The whole animal is kosher, just the Gid Anasha is treif. So since the whole animal is kosher, maybe there's no violation of the Mashki Yisrael. If you have Orlo, Kloy, Akerem, so the whole thing is treif. So then there's a din, Mashki Yisrael and Amuta Yisrael. But if you have basically a kosher animal, part of the animal happens to be treif. So maybe that's not a violation of the Mashki Yisrael. The Gemara is going to argue when you bring a carbon, so you makriv the chelev on the mizbeach, the chelev is treif, and you zork the dam on the mizbeach, the dam is treif. So you see that since the whole animal is basically kosher, just because part of it is osa b'achila, that's not a violation of the Mashki Yisrael. So that's going to be the machlekes hatanoim. Okay, so the machlekes in the Gemara. That's going to be the machloikas. So that's where we left off last time. So the Gemara, where we're up to now, about 10 lines from the top of Tzadik Amid Aleph. The line begins with the word, about 12 lines from the top, the line begins with the words, Hein Kedoshim. Then it says, Amar Abchir by Yosef. Starts a new topic. Amar Abchir by Yosef. Lo Shanu Ela, when the Mishnah says that the din of Giranosh applies even Karbonis, it only applies Bikotchim Hanecholim, the Chatos and Oshim that the Kohanim eat, or Korban Pesach, or Shlomim, that the Bailim eat. So the Mishnah means to say that you're not allowed to eat the Giranosh. Avo Bikotchim Shein Hecholim, if it's a Korban Oil, no one's going to eat it anyway. So what are you going to say that there's an Issa Giranosh, you're not allowed to be Makhtar on the Mizbeach? No, there's not a problem. There's no issue of Mimashki Yisrael. And it says, "Akein loyochel b'nei Yisrael get on Nosha." It doesn't say, "Akein loyochel amizbeach get on Nosha." You can burn get on Nosha on the mizbeach. That's not a problem. So that's the first opinion, Rab Chia by Yosef. And the second one, Rab Yochanan Omar, not correct. Echad kachim anecholim, echad kachim she'en anecholim. Doesn't matter whether the karbonos are eaten, and the Mishnah means to tell us that you're not allowed to eat the get on Nosha. That's poshut. Even a carbon oil, we eat nothing of it. Is it Giranosha and Abraham? The din of Giranosha applies with respect to what? That you're not allowed to be makterit on the Mizbeach. So the Gemara is going to explain what exactly is the Nekudah Samachlegs. What are they arguing about? So the first opinion, Omer Apapa, Veloy Pligi. They don't disagree. They're talking about two different things. Veloy Pligi. How can it be not Pligi? The Verish, they're disagreeing. So he says, no. Kan la halkoso, kan la haaloso. When we say that the din of Giranosha applies even to Kachim She'enem Necholim, it means if you'll eat the Giranosha, it doesn't mean that you're not allowed to be Makriv on the Mizbeach. Laha Alosa, to be Makriv on the Mizbeach, that's permissible because the Pasuk says, Alkein Le'yochle B'nai Yisrael's Giranosha. The Jewish people are forbidden from eating Giranosha. There's no prohibition against Makriv, Makterid on the Mizbeach. Not a violation of Mimashki Yisrael, because it's only part of a bigger animal, the whole animal is kosher. Lehalkoso, Rashi says, to give the fellow Malkus who eats the Giranosha, that doesn't make a difference whether it's a carbon on Nechel, carbon Shein on Nechel. You're not allowed to eat Giranosha, you get Malkus if you eat it. Bekanda haloso, but to be makterit, so they both say the same thing, that it's permissible to be makterit. So that's the first version of Rapapa. Ika di Ami Amar Rapapa, second version has it. The problem is that we said several times, Rabbi Yudan Nasi edited the Mishnayos, but when he edited the Mishnayos, they were still being recited bal peh. It's assumed in most Achrayim, in most history books, they assume the Mishnayos were not written down till several centuries later, till the days of Rabbi Ravashi, who misadded the Talmud Bavli. And then Rabbi Ravashi had a whole editorial board, and they're Masada the Talmud Bavli, but they didn't write down the Talmud Bavli till centuries later in the days of the Gaonim. Talmud Bavli was written down, and they had a whole machlokes, whether it's right, is it correct to write it down or not, because the original din was, you're not supposed to teach Torah Sheval Peh, Mitoch HaKsav, you're supposed to recite Torah Sheval Peh orally. So they had to write down the Mishnayos was because they were concerned, they slas l'Hashem efer teresecha. At that time, they didn't think it was proper, they didn't think it was permissible to write down the discussions regarding the Mishnah. What we call the Gemara, they felt it's not right. Then later, centuries later, in the days of the Goyim, they decided they better write down the Talmud Bavli. So every so often, you have in the Gemara, it was centuries after they edited the Talmud Bavli, so you have two versions totally different from each other. Sometimes you have two versions. Who said the din? Did Rav say the din? Did Shmuel say the din? Did Rabbi Yechanan say the din? They're not sure. Here they know Rav Papa said something, but they're not sure what he said. So the first version of Rav Papa was Velo Pligi, Kan Lahalkoso, Kan Lahalosa. Ika the army. Another version has it, because by the time they wrote down the Talmud Bavli, they weren't sure what the tradition was. Something was lost over here. That's why they allowed the writing down of the Talmud Bavli, because they said that they're forgetting everything. They're not going to remember. It's impossible to remember everything. Ika the army. The other version has it. Amar Papa Vlo Pligi, a different word. Not that the one is going on eating Giranosha, one goes on Makrivit on the Mizbeach, on Makter on the Mizbeach. No, they're both talking about Makter on the Mizbeach. But it's a different difference. Vlo Pligi, Kan Lacholso, Kan Lahaloso. You have a Korban Oilo. Are you Mechuyif to cut out the Giranosha before you put the Korban Oilo on the Mizbeach? Lacholso, to remove it, to cut out, to trebe the flesh, what we call trebing the flesh, to remove the gid anasha, you're not mechayiv to remove it. But if you already did remove it, if you already did separate, they didn't ask a shayla, someone went, a butcher went, and he removed the gid anasha from the bein. So once he removed it, then the other one is right. They both are saying the same thing. If you have a korban oila and the gid anasha is in the middle of the yerech, in the middle of the whole thigh of the animal, so you makta the whole yerech on the mizbech the way it is. You don't have to cut it out. But if you did cut it out, then you're not allowed to be makarban on the mizbech because it's standing alone in its treif. That's the violation of imashki yisom min amuta yisom. But if it's part of a bigger piece of flesh and the whole flesh is kosher, so it is called imashki yisom. That's the second version of Rapop. That's the second version. And then the Gemara has a third comment. Nachman Yitzchak says, there is a machlokes. Not true what Rav Papa said. There were two versions of Rav Papa, but both versions, Hatzad HaShavashim, and both versions of Rav Papa claim that there never was a machlokes between Rav Yochanan and Rav Chiya Bar Yosef. But like Pligi, they're both saying the same thing. Either they're distinguishing between eating Gid Anosha and Makter Gid Anosha, or they're both talking about Makter, and they're both distinguishing between Makterit alone and Makterit Agav the Yerech. And the next one, Nachman Yitzchak says, no, there is a machlokes. Are you permitted to be Makter the Gid Anosha if you separated? If you didn't separate it, for sure you're Makterit. If you separated the Gid Anosha, are you allowed to be Makterit? So the Gemara says, there is a machlokes Hatanayim about this. The Gemara says, D'tanya. We know there's a machlokes Hatanayim. So Rav Nachman Yitzchak thinks that the machlokes between Abchiah Bar Yosef and Rabbi Yechanan is identical with the machlokes Hatanoim. The Tanya, we have the following brisa. There's a contradiction, there's an apparent contradiction between two psukim in the Chumash. When you have a korban oila, how much of it are you makter on the mizbech? So in one pasuk it says, "V'hichta kain es hakol," everything from A to Z, you makter everything on the mizbech. Everything starts and includes even things that are not basar. The rabbis to include atzamas and gid and karnayim utlafim, the hooves, that's not basar. The karnayim, the horns, that's a solid horn. The gidim is also not basar. It doesn't taste like basar. And atzamas, there are different kinds of bones. Sometimes there are soft bones that you can chew and eat. Sometimes there's marrow inside the bone. The marrow, the moyach inside the bone, that's regular basar. And sometimes there are bones that are just solid bones. So the chiddush is, the Iktar Kohen is Hakol Yemakta, everything on the Mizbech, even the things that are not Basar. But then there's another pasuk in Dvarim Yud Beis that says, V'asisa L'secha Basar V'adam. When you bring a Korban Oila, you should be Zorek the Dam on the Karnas on the Mizbeach, and then the Basar you burn. So that pasuk sounds like you only burn the Basar. The Basar means not the Karnaim, and not the Tlofim, and not the Atzomis, and not the Gidim, only the Basar. So it's an apparent contradiction. Which is it? Do you only burn the basar, or do you burn hiktar kohenes hakol? So the brisa starts off with the first tana. Hiktar kohenes hakol amizbecha, everything. Hakol is everything. The rabbis include even those parts of the animal that are not edible, that are not basar. The rabbis, you burn also on the mizbecha. Some is gidin karnayim tlof until it turns into ashes. Mitzvah hakdor. Yochol, one might mistakenly think afilu pirshu. What if he detached the horns from the animal? He detached the hoofs from the animal. It's not that it's mechuber to the basar, it stands alone. No, tamalama pirshu, if it was hifrish, if it was separated from the basar, tamalama sisal secha basar v'adam. Only basar v'adam. Oh, so if you only have the second pasuk in Dvarim, sisal secha basar v'adam, he basar v'adam, if you only have the second pasuk without the first pasuk, one might mistakenly think you only burn the basar of the oil. Yochel yachlots, you should separate, you should cut off the gidim and the atzamas and the kanaim and the tlofim, the yala basar, the mizbech, only basar. No, tamalama, the first pasuk in Vayikra, the hektar kanis hakol, everything. Okay, so it's a contradiction between the two psukim. Do you burn everything, even the non basar and the korban oil? They only burn basar. The answer is milchubarim, kolzman, the karnaim and the tlofim are still attached to basar yalu, so you burn everything together. But pirsha, if you detached, if you separated the karnaim and the tlofim from the basar, from the animal, even if it's already on top of the mizbeach, even if the karnaim and the tlofim is already on the mizbeach, you take it off. Afilu brosh ha mizbeach yerdu. Sometimes there's a din There's a perek in Zvachim that's about Hamizbech Mekadesh. You put posel karbon. There's an avera to put a posel karbon on the Mizbech. We're not sure exactly. The Tosfos Yonta writes on Mishnah Zvachim. He's not sure exactly where the posek is that says that it's an iser, but the Mishnah say beferish that we assume that there is an avera. The Psukim and the Chumash just say that certain karbonos are posel. So the Mishnah has that some karbonos, if it's psulam bakodesh, it was kosher, it became posulin in Beis HaMikdash. It has a little mum, it developed a mum later. So sometimes the din is, you're not allowed to be makrivit on the Mizbech, but if you ready to put it on top of the Mizbech, you leave it, you don't take it off. And sometimes if it's not psulam bakodesh, it was posul before you even brought it into the Azara. It's a bigger psul. So then I feel the way malu yerdu, even if it's on top of the Mizbech and it's on the fire, you have to take it off because it's an isa to leave it. So that's what he says over here. The first Tana says, if Pirshu, if you detach the kanaim and the tlofim, you detach the horns and the hoofs from the basar, and it's not connected with any basar, even if it's on the Mizbech, yerdu, you have to take it off. It's not pasul, but it's not basar. The only thing you makter on the Mizbech is bisar ha'oilom, and the karnayim and the tlofim, if it's still attached, agav the basar, you burn it. But once it's detached, even if it's on top of the mizbech, you take it off. There's no mitzvah of haktar. So the first Tana and the Braisa distinguishes between pirsha and lo pirsha. If lo pirsha, then you makter everything the way it is. And if lo pirsha, then you're not makter. But this Tana is not talking about gid anoshim. He's talking about parts of the animal that are not basar, kanaim, and tlofim, and atzamas, and gidin, things are not edible. So then the Gemara is going to introduce.
Is the gid anoshim a gid by itself?
Yeah.
So it's including it here. It says the gidin you don't burn.
Okay, good. Okay. I mean, all the gidin that are not edible. Some of the gidin are edible, some of the gidin are not edible. There is a machloikas hatanaim, we learned it before the summer, whether the gid anoshim is considered edible. And if you cook the whole flesh with the gid anoshim, it makes a nesinas tam and it makes a treif, unless you have shishim against the gid anoshim. So the nesinas tam is batel b'shishim. Or we assume that not so. We assume that ain't the gid b'naisa tam. Gid anoshim doesn't have any taste, and it's not roi l'achila. And if you cooked it together with a piece of flesh, even if you don't have shishim, it doesn't make treif. You're not allowed to eat it. You have to take the gid anoshim, throw it in the garbage. But it doesn't make anything treif because the din of tam kiker was only formulated with respect to some food that's edible, that's also bachilah. Gid anoshim is not considered edible. It gives an asinus tam. Let's say you have, for example, let's say somebody worships Avodah Zarah, he bows down to this tape recorder. So Avodah Zarah is also bahanoah. If someone worships ice cream, so the ice cream becomes also bahanoah if it's his ice cream. My ice cream, I don't know most of the Dovashin and Shalai, but it's his ice cream, so he asks it by Noah. So you're not allowed to eat it because eating it is one form of getting Hanoah. But basically, it's not Asabahila, it's Asabahanoah. So let's say someone worships the tape recorder, it becomes Asabahanoah. So then you're going to cook some soup and you're going to put the tape recorder in. He's going to give an Asinas Tam, even if the soup tastes a little better because the tape recorder was cooked, the plastic was cooked in the soup, even if it gives a good tam. There's no din of tam kikar on that. Tam kikar only applies if the thing is food that's edible, and it's also b'achila. But it doesn't have to be edible. It's also b'hanoah. It's also b'hanoah. I now am getting hanoah. The soup tastes better now because I cooked the plastic in it. That the plastic is bottle bereif, so it's not considered getting hanoah. The only time you have this chiddush in the pasuk of tam keiker, if the tray for food gives nesinas tam, let's say you're going to buy cookies in the store without a hechsher. So what's so, how trade could it be already? The cookies are 98% and 99% of it is kosher. What could be tray for already? It may have some tray for flavoring in it, and that tray for flavoring gives nesinas tam. So that's the din of tam keiker. So tam keiker only applies if the thing is food, it's edible, roi l'achila, and it's also b'achila. So then there's a din of tam keiker. Now, gid anoshim, that's the machlokes hatanaim. So the Mishnah holds that if you cook gid anoshim with a piece of flesh, it asses the flesh. The Mishnah holds yesh begid m'raisin tam. It's considered basar, and it's also roi lachila, and it asses the flesh. And we don't paskin like the Mishnah. We paskin ain't begid m'raisin tam. We assume gid anoshim is not dina ki basar. It doesn't have enough of a flavor to be considered edible. It's considered eitz bi'alma. It's like a shtikholz. The Torah says you're not allowed to eat it. But since it's not roi lachila, so the whole chiddush din of tam ki ikah does not apply. That's a weak pasuk in the Shulchan Aruch. So Nachamal said, so the first Tana is not talking, he doesn't say a word about Gira Nasha. He's talking about those parts of the carbon oil which are not edible. Do you have to be mocked to them or not? So he has a contradiction between the pasuk in Vayikra and the pasuk in Dvar. So the first Tana, we don't know what his name is yet. The Gemara is going to say that it's Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. So the first Tana is of the opinion that kol zman is still mechubet to flesh, you're mocked to it, and when it's pierced, when it's detached, and you're not mocked to it.
I need the Rishonim say that by Avodah Zara, it's, even though it's only an Isra Achil, only an Isra Hanah, but it's Nasa, Macholas, Asuras, like your Rishonim that hold by Bishal Akum, that it's Nasa, Macholas, Asuras, that requires Shishim.
See, by Bishal Akum, that's a Machloik and Rishonim. The motivation to prohibit it is because they're concerned about intermarriage. But Lemaisa, what did they prohibit? So some Rishonim say they made an Isra Macholas, Asuras. And others say, no, why should it be Macholas Asuras? They're concerned about intermarriage. So they said that eating food that's cooked by a non-Jew is like dancing with a non-Jewish girl. So since, just like you're not allowed to dance with her, you're not allowed to kiss her because it may lead to intermarriage, so you're not allowed to eat Bishulakim either because it may, but it's not an Isa Macholas Asuras. But by over here, for sure it's not. For sure, Avodah Zarah, for sure. I bow down to this thing. It can't be Macholas Asuras.
The issue is the Raisimid
Rabbanan and Avodah Zarah. Taisus and Bava Kama has a discussion about that. Machlokes and Taisus. Most assume that it is an Issa deraisa. Avodah Zarah is also Bachila, has been a
term. Bishalakim Midi Rabbanan is more Mako than Avodah Zarah deraisa.
More Mako or more Machma? Which way?
No, it's Bishalakim is more Machma.
Okay, could be.
Even though it's Midi Rabbanan, that it's, you require Shishim, but Avodah Zarah doesn't require Shishim, even though it's deraisa.
Right, correct. So the first Tana didn't say a word about Giran Asher. He's talking about Karnayim and Tlofim. And he has a striking statement, Afil Barosh Shal Mizbech. Even though there's sometimes there are Dinam HaMizbech Mekadesh, if you certain Psuli HaMekadoshim, certain the Karbonis that are possible, you put them on the Mizbech and they caught flame, the fire caught on the flesh and it started to burn. So you leave it there. You don't take it down. But over here, if you have karnayim with tlofim, the thing is not basar at all. Even if it caught fire on the mizbech, even if it's on fire, but it was detached, it was separated from the flesh, yerdu, you take it down. It doesn't belong on the mizbech. So the Gemara says, whose expression is that? Who's the Tana who used such a lotion? Afila barosh, man Tana d'shamislei. Who's the one who used such a lotion? Dama Pirsha Yeridu, who's the one that says like Afila Barosha Shal Mizbeh? Gemara says Rebihi, that's Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. The Tanya, we have a Braisa, but the Braisa spells out there's a this point is a machlekes satanai. Now we're gonna get to the punchline. The first Braisa didn't say a word about Yehuda Hanasi. The second Braisa, we're gonna interpret it already that each one is taking a stand on Yehuda Hanasi. The Tanya, so they start all over again about this apparent contradiction between the two psukim. That the pasuk in the beginning of Vayikra says, when you mock the korban oilam, so it says, Victor Kernis Hakol. Hakol means everything, even the non-basar parts of the animal, even the hooves, even the horns, that a mamish not basar at all. And the other pasuk in Dvarim says, only the parts that are edible. So these Tanaim also going to be working on this contradiction. They're going to give two different answers. So Rebbe is the one who gave the answer that we quoted before. Depends, kol zman is still mechuber to basar, you burn it. When it's detached, you don't burn it, and even if it's already on fire, you take it off and you throw it in the garbage. You don't leave it on the mizbech. So the Gemara says, the Tanya, we have the Braisa that quotes a machlokes, Rabbi and Chacham. Hakol, says, Hakol, everything. Vafilu pirshu, even if it was detached, how does he know? He's already not like Rebbe. Rebbe says it depends whether Pirsha or not Pirsha. So the first Tana, the Chachamim, the Rabbanim disagree with Afilu Pirshu, even if the hooves were detached. Amani Mekayim, what about the other pasuk in Dvarim that says, Abasa Badam, you only have to burn Basa? No, that's a different din. The Paikin, that's a different din. Ahadure Paikin. Ahadure Paikin is a whole sugi in Zvachim. You have a mizbech and you have fires burning things on the mizbech. So let's say in the middle of the night, 11 o'clock at night, the kohen is roaming around in the Azora and he sees some of the things on the mizbech fell on the floor. So if it burned so well that it turned into ashes, so you don't have to put it back on the mizbech. It turned into ashes, there's nothing to burn any longer. You finished. Find the sky mahamitzvah haktar. If it didn't burn into ashes, let's say the chalavim or the emurim or the evarim of the korban oila, it's all charred on the outside, but it's still raw on the inside. It didn't burn, didn't turn to ashes. So then there's a din ahadure poiken. You have to poiken means it fell off. So you have to ahadure means to put it back, pick it up on the floor, put it back on top of the mizbech. So the Gemara learns that from a pasuk that chatzois oise ikol. If it fell off of the mizbeach after midnight and the whole piece of flesh or fat is all charred, fully charred on the outside, just on the inside, the whole thing is raw, so once it fell off on the mizbeach, the chatzos is considered already ma'ukal. Just like if you would have burned the carbon till it turned to ashes, so there's no longer any mitzvah of haktarah. So if it burnt on the mizbeach till it got shriri means all charred on the outside, even though the inside is absolutely a big chunk of flesh, a chelev that's raw, so if it fell off after chatzos, there's a din derais of chatzos. Chatzos is equal. If it fell off, it's all charred on the outside, it fell off after chatzos, there's no mitzvah of a haduri toik.
Not charred on the outside?
Yeah. Then you didn't complete, you didn't fulfill a mitzvah of haktorah yet. We discussed when we learned the first perek in Brochas, there's a machlekes hatanaim where the korban pesach, the din is korban pesach has to, you have to finish eating korban pesach by midnight. So the gemara quotes a machlekes Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Lozer, and Azaria, whether that's a din derais or din derabon. And Tosis is not sure how we paskin whether the din at pesach in the nechel ella at chatzais. The Mishnah in Zama Kaiman says it so strongly with a double negative, in the nechel ella at chatzais. So the gemara says there in Zama Kaiman, the last Mishnah, Bergazat Mekaimet, it's such a sharp lashon. The Mishnah is assuming, like Rav Lozer ben Azaria, that Chatzos is a din deraisa. You have to finish eating karbes, but Chatzos is a din deraisa. Rabbi Kiva disagrees. Because Chatzos is only a din mederabbanim. And Atari can eat the karben pesach all night long. And it's only kedel harchikus adam in aver. If you'll permit people to eat the karben pesach all night long up until Alos HaShachar. Is an hour and a half or so before sunrise. It's very dark outside. It's hard to discern that it's Alos HaShach. So if you permit people to eat all night long the Korban Pesach, till Alos HaShach, for sure some people will continue to eat it. Everybody always waits till the last minute to do things. Students in college, they always hand in their dual, they cram everything for exams, and they hand in the papers, always the last minute. Everything's the last minute. So people will, you owe money to the bank, so you pay the last minute. Everybody waits always to the last minute. So people will, for sure, a lot of people will eat the Korban Pesach after Alos HaShachar. That's an Issa Koris. You're eating Noisa, that'll be an Issa Koris. So for sure you have to finish eating the Korban Pesach b'chatzos. Machlokes is, but it's a din derais, a din derabban. Tosfos is not sure. In his Amikoyman and Tosfos in Psochim, they're not sure whether we pass on like Rav Lozer ben Azaria, that is derais, like Rabbi Akiva, that Chatzos is only the Rabbanon. Let's say Achatas and Enosham, the Kohanim eat it Yom V'Layla at Chatzos. So the Mishnah says, but they can eat it all night long until Alos HaShach. So there for sure, Chatzos is only mid the Rabbanon k'day l'harchik k'sodim and aver. By Korban Pesach, it's a machleg, so Rav Lozer ben Azaria holds Chatzos and then the Raisa, because the Pasuk reads, V'ochlos habasa b'layla hazeh. And that phrase "balay lazeh" appears in connection with Makas Becharis. Lavat Beeretz Mitzrayim balay lazeh. The case is called Becharis Beeretz Mitzrayim. And when did Makas Becharis occur? At Chatzos. So that leads our Blaz Ben Azar to believe Ochlos Habasa balay lazeh. Balay lazeh has the connotation of Chatzos. That their Chatzos is their ice. So even if you should hold, the Gemara says, what's the difference? Halacha lemaisa, whether Chatzos is their ice or Chatzos is their abonan. By the Korban Pesach, so the Gemara said, "Afkamina is bizman hazeh aloch alamaisa." Are you allowed to eat the matzah after Chatzos? If the din of Chatzos is a din deraisa by Korban Pesach, then there's a hekish, there's a pasuk that puts together a matzah simraim yochluhu. You should eat the Korban Pesach in conjunction with matzah amora. See, if the din of Chatzos is deraisa by Korban Pesach, a matzah zemer yachlu. There's a hekesh between the korban pesach and the matzah and the mar. You have to finish the matzah also by chatzos. A lot of people brag about the fact that they don't get to eat the matzah, they don't get to eat the afikayim until way after chatzos. So that's a discussion in the Gemara. So Gemara says, if chatzos is only midrabbanon, so then the gzeira derabbanon only applies to korban pesach, because if you leave the korban pesach after alos hashachat, that'll be an isa karis. You'll be eating noisar. That'll be an avera chamur. But if you eat matzah, if you'll allow people to eat matzah all night long, and someone by mistake will eat the matzah after alos hashachar, so what avera did he do? Hote gezokta brocha levatole. He said, Asher kereshan hasano al achilas matzah in the morning. So we assume that brocha levatole is only the rabbanon. In Atari, he said a beautiful shevach. It's true. You can say, why shouldn't you say it all year long? You can say it at Rosh Hashanah. The Chacham don't allow you to say it. It's an Issa Derabbanan to say Brocha Levatol. I say, I'm going to say Shakol, I'm not drinking a cup of tea. It's a shevach. Shakol, Baruch HaKadosh Ken Malach Olam, Shakol Ni'abidvar. It's a shevach. With the Rabbanan, you're not allowed to say Brocha Levatol or Brocha Shenet Tzrich. So if you eat matzah after alos hashachar, what will be the terrible avera? It won't be an avera. It'll be an avera the rabbanon or bracha levatola. You'll be eating before shachris. So the Babich always eat before shachris. They daven shachris doomsday, so they're stopping. So they always eat before shachris. So apparently the avera is not right. They're not supposed to eat before shachris, but that's not such an avera chamura that maybe it's only the rabbanon. If the whole obligation to daven shachris is only with the rabbanon, most of the rishonim hold that tefillah is only with the rabbanon. The Rambam holds that tefillah once a day, every day is derais. Most of the rishonim hold that tefillah is only with the rabbanon. So how can you say that there's an isa derais to eat before shachris? Probably also only an isa derabbanon. The Meiri points that out. Meiri in the end of Bab Metziah, he says that if tefillah is only the rabbanon, so you can't say l'soch l'ladam. The Gemara has different levels of interpretation on the pasuk. You're not allowed to eat before you daven shachris. That's a real interpretation on the level of the Raisa. So the Meiri says, according to all the Rishonim hold that tefillah is only with the Rabbanon. So you can't say that that's a din der Raisa. You're not allowed to eat before davening. The whole din of davening is only with the Rabbanon. So the Brocha Levatole, the Rabbeinu Tam says only with the Rabbanon. Eating before shachris is only with the Rabbanon. So what is going to make a gzeira der Rabbanon? You have to finish eating the matzah by chatzais. Because it may by mistake eat the matzah after alos hashachar. That'll be a gzeira l'gzeira. You're afraid he's going to violate a derabbanon. You have a right to make a gzeira derabbanon. You have to finish the korban pesach by chatzos. Because if you lead it too late, you lead it after alos hashachar, you'll be irvan isa derais of kores. You'll be eating nicer. So there they have a right to make a gzeira derabbanon. But if it's only a gzeira derabbanon by korban pesach, then the Gemara said you should not carry over the matzah. By matzah it's only going to be derabbanons. But the Gemara says, if the din would have been like Rav Loza ben Azariah, Taisa is not sure how you pass it. If the din would be like Rav Loza ben Azariah, that Chatzos is a din deraisa by Korban Pesach, then the Pasuk puts together, Amatzah Zemroim, Yoch Luhu, they should eat the Korban Pesach in conjunction with Matzah and Morah. So by Korban Pesach, if it's a din deraisa of Chatzos, then it carries over to the Matzah and Morah as well. So that's the Gemara has that machloikis in the first Perek and Brachas, whether Chatzos is deraisa or not. Is Chatzos Halayla ever a concept on the level of the Raisa? So the answer is yes. Chatzos Halayla is relevant for Ahadure Paikin. If something was on the Mizbeach burning, a Murim or a Karben Oila, the whole Ole Yevarim of the Karben Oila, and it's charred on the outside and it's raw on the inside, and it falls off on the Mizbeach after Chatzos, that's a Din Raisa, learned that from Sukkim Chatzos, Oise Ikol. If it's charred on the outside, then it falls off on the Mizbeach, is considered mu'ukal, considered as if the whole thing was consumed by the flames, as if it would have all turned into ashes already. Mu'ukal, you don't have to put it back on. But if it fell off before Chatzos, or it fell off after Chatzos, it's not fully charred on the outside, never really got burned on the outside, then there's a mitzvah b'hadurei poikim. So that's what the first time it says. The pasuk in Vayikra that says, he doesn't hold. Tanakhama over here, the majority opinion doesn't agree with the Rebbe. They hold even Pirsha, even if it was detached, even if the horns and the hooves were detached from the basa, you still You burn everything on the Mizbech. Aye, but there's the Pasuk in Dvarim that says, Osisacha basa ba'adam, only the basa you burn. That goes on a Hadure Toiken. If the Kanaim and the Tlofim fall on the floor, at kedei kach, you're not mechuyev to put it back on top of the Mizbech. At kedei kach, you're not mechuyev. But Kol Zman, but you should put it on the Mizbeach. The Chatchila should put it on the Mizbech to burn everything, even Pirshu. That's what the Tanna Kamma holds. Ha'Ketzad, it goes on Poikin. Ha'Ketzad, what's the compromise between the two Psukim? Ikuli Basa at the Machzir. If flesh got a little burnt and it fell on the floor, you have to put it back on. Unless it's after Chantzos. V'at the Machzir, Ikuli Gidim Atzamas. But if the non-basar parts of the Karban Oilah fell on the floor, you're not mechuyev to put it back on. And Rabbi Yoimer, Rabbi says, no. The answer to the apparent contradiction between the two psukim, like we said before, depends is the karnaim and the tlofim still attached to basar or not. Kosev Echadoim, on the one hand, there's a part of Hikta Akaris HaKoil. Everything, rebuts, marba everything, even the non-basar items of the Karban Oilah. Kosev Echadoim, on the other hand, there's another part that says, Fakert. You only have to burn basar, whatever is not basar, the hooves and the horns, you don't have to burn niyat. So you have a ribuy and a miyut. So which is it? The two psukim contradict. Oh, ketzat. How do you answer this apparent contradiction? The answer is, mechubarim yalu. If the karnaim and the tlofim are still attached to basar, then you put everything on the mizbeach. And pirshu, and if it's detached, afilu baroshin shal mizbeach yerdu. That's how they identified the previous brisa as being Rebbe. The first brisa was like Rebbe because he says that lashon in the previous brisa. Afilu baroshin shal mizbech yerdu, that the din of hamizbech mekadesh doesn't apply in this case. So the Gemara says the Tanna Kamma holds that the pasuk ikta koynes hakoil hamizbecha, everything is even pirshu. Even if it's detached. Fake the Gemara. How did he know? Maybe Rebbe's right. Rebbe says the only time you mak the hakoil, the hikta kodesh hakoil, if it's still mechuber. But if pirshu, then you say, you only burn the basa. Why did the Tanna Kamma think that it's such a double poshut? I don't even need a pasuk to tell me that Kol Zman, the karnaim and the tlofim are still attached to the basa. That you burn the karnaim and the tlofim. Why is that so poshut? You don't even need a pasuk. V'rabbanan, and the first Tana, the Braisa, who doesn't agree with Rebbe, mechubarim la'itzter kol rabuy. I don't need a pasuk to tell me that when the horns and the hooves are still attached to basa, that you burn it. The pasuk kol, hiktakonis hakol hamizbecha, hakol, goes even pirshu. Why? Why do they not? Because mida dehavi arosh shaloyla. Chumash says when you shecht the karban oilah, so you shecht, you detach the head from the rest of the animal. Then the pasuk says that head that you detach when you did the shechita, you take the whole head and you burn it on the mizbech. You're not allowed to cut it up to different pieces. The Gemara says, "Benita chaisal in socher." We had it in the first parak in Chulin. It's a din in Kochin. It's a din. "Benita chaisal in socher." When you bring a karban oilah, you have to cut it up to certain size pieces. So the Gemara Dashim is loy nesachel then nesachel. You're not allowed to cut it up to smaller pieces. So the Mishnayis and Tamid and the Mishnayis and Yumid describe exactly what are the pieces. How many pieces do you divide up the Korban Oilah? And then they used to have a whole lottery. Which coin will have the schus to be makdered on the Mizbech? So one coin would be marked at one part of the animal. Another coin would be zechet to do another part of the animal. The right leg, the left leg, and the front leg, and the back leg. The four different legs. Who's going to mark the chest and this? Each thing is separate. But you're not allowed to cut it lamb chops into 50 pieces, 100 pieces. Only certain. So the Gemara says, V'rabbanan, the Chachamim hold, calls man that the Karnaim and the Tlofim am chubarim to basar. I don't need a pasuk to be marbed that you makte the Karnaim and the Tlofim. The Torah says when you cut off the head, you have to be makte the whole head. You're not allowed to cut the head in half. That's Nesocheho le nesocheho. Now in the head, Rashi explains, there are a lot of bones there that are not edible. The head is full of, the skull is full of bones. That's the bottom Rashi. The bottom Rashi on Sadikam and Aleph, you have to be mocked at the whole head as one piece. You're not allowed to cut it up into different sections. There are a lot of bones in the head. that are absolutely not edible at all. So the fact that if you have bones that are absolutely not edible, there's a mitzvah to be makta them. Kol zman de mechubet basar, that's elementary. I know that from the parsha, from the Vayikra Aleph, that you have to be makta the whole rosh, even though it has bones. So when the bones are mechubet, when the kanaim and the tlof are mechubet the basar, I know that on my own. I don't need a riboy. So what is the riboy in Vayikra pasuk perek Aleph? You talking is hakoil. Hakoil is marbe something. It's marbe kanaim and tlofim, even if pirshu. If lo pirshu, I know that from the rosh. When do I use the pasuk the riboy? Hakol is marbe, even if it's pirshu. If the karnayim and tlofim were detached from the basar, you still makter it. And Rabbi Yehuda Anasi Rebbe disagrees and he says no. I need a pasuk. Rebbe holds mechubarim. Rebbe holds what mechubarim the hetera. He agrees with them. Mechubarim the hetera leitzter kro leRabbi. You're right. That if you have karnayim and tlofim and atzomis that are absolutely not edible, but then mechubet to basar, I know from Rosh Hashalayla, because the Rosh is full of atzomis and you're not allowed to cut it up, so you mechubet to makto all the atzomis together with the basar. So Rebbe says, I agree with you. You don't need the word hiktar kanes hakol, you don't need the riboy hakol to be marbe, that the atzomis calls man the mechubet. If it's mechubarim the hetera, I don't need a basar. Ki itzter kro. That pasuk that tells me hakoil, that you're makter something that's not edible, calls man its mechuber to the basar that is edible. The riboy kol is needed legit anasha b'mechuber. This is how the Gemara is interpreting. The Brisa doesn't say anything. The Gemara is explaining. The Amoraim said before that there was an issue. Are you permitted to be makter git anasha of a carbon oil? So the Gemara said they think it's a machlekes hatanon. So they quote this brisa, which is not fully self-explanatory. Now the Gemara takes over. The Gemara is interpreting the brisa. So the Gemara says they all agree to this argument. You burn the Rosh Hashaloyla, it's full of bones that are absolutely not edible, but all the bones are attached to basar. So that we know if it's mechuber, mechubarim the hetera. You're right, Listokar. I don't need a rebbit to teach you that. Listokar, Rebbe thinks that the pasuk is needed. If it's Gidal Nasha that's still Mechuber, you are makter it. Rabbanon, and what are the Rabbanon hold? No, never. What are you talking about? Mashke Yisrael, it's treif. How can you be makter of something on the Mizbech? That's treif. You're not allowed to. So this really doesn't say in the Braisa. The Gemara is interpreting that this point that was a machlekes Amaraim is a machlekes between Rebbe and the Chacham. Because the Brisa never spelled out. What does Rabbi do with this pasuk? What does Rabbana do with that pasuk? So the Gemara says that's the machlekes. Mimashke Yisrael min amuta leYisrael. The Rabbana hold you're never allowed to be makter on the mizbeach agir anoshe. You have to remove it because it's a violation. Mashke Yisrael. The Rabbi holds that's not a violation. The only time it's a violation, Mashke Yisrael, if the whole bottle of wine is orla, the whole bottle of wine is klai hakerem, the whole thing is treif. Or you have an animal that's a treifa. So you can't be makriv on the mizbech, an animal that the whole animal is also bachila. The whole animal is a treifa. Beim tmeya, there's nothing to discuss. Beim tmeya, you can't shecht it. So that's nothing to discuss. But even if you have a beim tor kosher, a cow, but it happens to be the treifa has a disease, the animal is a treifa, so that's excluded based on the mashki Yisrael. The Gemara in the beginning of Menachas on Daf Hei explains that there are three different psukim that teach you what seems to be the exact same din, that you're not allowed to be makriv on the mizbeach an animal that's a treifa. So what do you need three psukim to say the same thing? So the Gemara says one pasuk tells me if it was born a treifa, but if it was born a ksher, then it became a treifa later in life. Maybe I would have thought that you can be makriv, so you need a second pasuk. What do you need the third pasuk? The third pasuk tells you even if you are magdish the animal when it was a kshera, and then it became a treifa after you are magdish it. It broke a leg or it got a puncture in the lungs after you were magdish it, also you're not allowed to be makriv on the mizbech. But that everybody agrees, that's a violation of mashke, so because the whole animal is treif. If the whole bottle of wine is treif, it's orlo, it's glakarim, then everybody agrees that that's a violation of mashke Yisroel. But here, this is the machlekes, Rebbe and the Chachamim. Rabbanon say, you're not allowed to be makriv on the mizbech, it's treif. And Rebbe says, no, if it's mechubet to the basar, then you are allowed to, because the whole animal is kosher, just to get on Nusha's treif. So he says, be Rebbe, since it, the whole animal is kosher, so it's the same as chelav adam, mida dehavi, it's to be compared to chelav adam. The whole animal is kosher, the chelav adam is treif, but you're allowed to be makter the chelav on the mizbeach. That's not a violation, mashkin so, because it's the chelav came from an animal. The rest of the animal was kosher. So that's what Rebbe says. If the rest of the animal is kosher, that's not a, it's mechuber, that's not a violation of Mashke Yisrael. Tregmar ve'Rabbanon. Why don't the Rabbanon go for the argument of Rebbe? On the fourth line from the top, ve'Rabbanon, the Tanakhama doesn't agree with Rebbe. He holds that even if the Gidonosh is still attached to the animal, you have to cut it out. You're not allowed to be makter it in the korban oile. You're not allowed to be makter the whole animal on the mizbeach with the Gidonosh. Why? Why not learn from chelav adam? So he says, no, mitzvasim bekach. Chelav adam doesn't start off as being treif. Chelav adam starts off, it's miyuchad from the mizbeach. So because it's miyuchad from the mizbeach, that's why we're not allowed to eat. It's like chelkel shel gavoyah. So now you're going to turn around and you're going to say, how could you be zorek the dam on the mizbeach, and how can you be mak to the chelev? It's treif. No, the reason why it's treif is because it's miyuchad for the mizbeach. That's what the Gemara says. V'rabonim, it's osam bekach. It's osam bekach shiny. That's different. You can't slap on it. You can't say chelev dam may not be mak there on the mizbeach because mimashke Yisrael. The whole reason why it's osam Yisrael is because it's miyuchad lagavoya. So you can't turn around now and say, that's how the Ksav Sofer interprets. As Chidusha Ksav Sofer on Chulans, he interprets that line like that. It's a sharp interpretation. Mitzvasim bekach shayni. You can't say the Chelev Adam is a violation in Rashke Yisrael, because it starts off as being Miyuchad Lagavar.
Why wouldn't you be able to eat Dam that doesn't spurt out? If the whole Zerika is only with Dam that spurts out.
Dam Shana Shama Yotzeba, yeah. If an animal just bleeds a little bit, that's an isa dam deraisa, but that's not the dam shanashama yotzeba. So that's like a low plug. Even though this, the dam that's good for zrika on the mizbech is only certain dam, most of the dam is not acceptable. The dam in the capillaries is not dam shanashama yotzeba, but still that's an isa deraisa. There's no kuris. There's no, if you eat, let's say, a piece of meat that we have, and we don't salt it, and we eat the dam, well, by us, we cook the meat, so dam shebishlo is really only the rabban. The isa dam deraisa is only if you didn't cook it. Once you cooked it, so it's a machlekes in the Gemara and Ashkenaz and Paskin that the isa dam shebishlo is only the rabban. Because after you cook it, it's considered moel habasa, it's considered the juice of the animal. Let's say you salt a piece of flesh. You have a big piece of flesh, so big, 2 feet by 2 feet by 2 feet, a cube. And you salt it on the outside. The salt is not going to affect you. Who's there? The inside part is going to be full of blood. So it doesn't matter. You salted it, you did what you're supposed to do, and you got out whatever dam came out in a half an hour, and then you can cook the rest of the flesh. Aye, but it's full of dam, mamish. The salt didn't affect at all. That doesn't matter. The dam that remains, there always is going to be a lot of dam that remains. The dam that remains is considered moel habosa, the juice of the flesh. And the same is true if we pass on the dam shebishloi, is only an isa derabban. The only time it's an isa deraisa is dam shelo bishloi. So the ma'isa, we're never talking about the isa dam deraisa. It's only the rabban. But let's say you have the dam. I'll take a piece of meat, raw meat, without salting it, and I'll squeeze out all the dam, and I'll eat it. So there won't be karis on that, because that's not dam shanashama yotzibo. It's dam eivarim. Dam eivarim is an isa deraisa. But it's not dam shanashama yotzeba. The ike isa dam is because it's miyuchad lagavoya. And the miyuchad lagavoya, you're right, there's only the dam that spurts out dam shanashama yotzeba. First little bit of dam that comes out is not dam shanashama yotzeba. It changes colors, the Gemara says increases. Changes colors when the animal is in the process of dying. And then it changes colors again after the animal is already, after it already lost so much blood that it can't live anymore. So the rest of the dam is still an isa deraisa, but that doesn't have chorus. So it's a low plug deraisa. The real isa is because it's miyuchad lagavoya, miyuchad for karbonis. But it's a tormeda low plug, all dam, even dam ha'ivarim, even the dam in the capillaries is also awesome in a Torah without chorus. Yeah. So this was the machlokes hatanaim. If you have a gidah, It first started off as a machlokes hamaroyim, and then the Gemara says, Abraisa, the Gemara interprets that it's a machlokes hataraim. If the gid anasha was not detached from the whole yerech of the animal, it's still attached. Are you allowed to be makter it the way it is in a carbon oil? They say, no, you must remove it because it's a violation of mashkitzom and amuta liyisrael. That's a machlokes hataraim. Now, what does the Gemara say? Amar Rav Chisda. Let's see. Amar Rav Huna. Amar Rav Huna. On the fourth line from the top, fifth line. Amar Rav Huna. Gid anasha shal a karben oila cholzo litapuach. Tapuach is a big apple. So the Mizbeach, they used to burn a lot of karbonas. And whenever the karbonas burned so much that it turned into ashes, so the ashes are going to get in the way. If you want to burn new chalev there, so they would take all the ashes, push it to the middle. In the middle there would be a gigantic pile that looked like a gigantic apple, because the mizbeach and the bais sheni, the mizbeach on the ground was 32 by 32 amas. Went up one amma, went and indented an amma, and then it went up I think 5 amas. So that's the soiviv. That's cool. So then it went in an amma on every side. So it's only 30 by 30. Then it went up 5 amas and it dented again, and that was the top of the Mizbech. Now it's 28 by 28. 28 amas by 28 amas, gigantic. The top of the Mizbech was gigantic. So they had fires all over the place on the outside of the 28 by 28 amas. And whenever they had ashes, they pushed all the ashes to the middle until there was no room, until it's interfering with the ability to burn karbonas. So then they would take all the ashes and take it mechutz lamachane. Every day there was a mitzvah of Chumas Hadashim, to take a little bit of the ashes. The different ashes on the Mizbech, the ashes, the logs turned into ashes, and the flesh turned into ashes. So the mitzvah of Chumas Hadashim is not to take the ashes from the logs. Apparently you can tell the difference, whether it's wood that turned into ashes or flesh that turned into ashes. So the mitzvah of Chumas Hadashim every morning is to take a little bit of the flesh of the Haktorah that turned into ashes and put it on the floor. And a miracle used to be nivla b'mkom every day, just a little bit, a tiny bit. And then when this pile of ashes in the middle is just interfering with the ability to do aktaras, and then emotziet b'chutz l'sholosh machna. So that's called the tapuach. So Rav Huna says he thinks the din is gid anasha shel karben oila. Karben oila, you burn everything, all the other karbonas. That are eaten, chatas and anosham and a korban pesach and a shlamim and a toid, everything else that's eaten. So you don't burn the yerech, you don't burn that part that has the gid anosha. That part is eaten by somebody, so you have to yank out the gid anosha to make sure that nobody eats it. But the gid anosha, the korban oil, you're going to burn everything on the mizbeach. So he says you have to cut it out. Cholzo letapuach. It's not right to be makterin. In other words, he's saying against Rebbe. He's saying the halacha is like the chachamim de Rebbe. The chachamim de Rebbe hold that it's a rabbanon menashki yisol, menamutal yisol, it's a violation of menashki yisol to burn the yerech with the gid anasha in it. You have to remove the gid anasha. You shouldn't burn it. So you cut it out and you throw it in the garbage pile, in the tapuach. The tapuach you're going to take, ultimately you're going to take and throw it b'chutz l'sholosh machna, you're going to throw it out. But there's no, you should, it's not proper to burn it on the Mizbech, because it's a violation of Mashki Yisrael. Omer Rav Chizda was a contemporary Rav Huna, so he says, what in the world are you talking about? Mary Dichi, my master of this din, you're the Bala Memra of this din. What do you mean? The Mizbech is Jewish. The Mizbech is prohibited from eating. Gid anasha miksiv alken lo yechal ha-mizbech gid anasha. There's no there for them. What's the problem? It's trade for the Jewish people. Well, what's wrong if you burn it on the Mizbeach? Frey Gemara said, what did Rav Huna think? Rav Huna, he held Mimashki Yisom and Amuta Yisom. He held like we had the whole argument before. No, if it's trade, then you're not allowed to be makter it on the Mizbeach. And that was the Machlekes, Rebbe and Nachachamim. So Rebbe said, but Kol Zman it's Mechubah, since the rest of the animal is kosher. The Rebbe was of the opinion that that's not a violation of the Mashke Yisroel. And Rav Huna thought the din should be against Rebbe, the din should be like the Chacham. Even if it's a mechuba to the rest of the animal, it should still be a violation of the din of Mashke Yisroel and Amuta Yisroel.
When he says, holding the tapuach, he's just using that as an expression, or he means it literally?
You have to cut it out, not let it burn, not let it burn it. And may as well throw it in the garbage. So the closest garbage is over there. the part in the middle is the garbage. You can throw it in the garbage can also.
We cut it on the top of the mizbeach. We cut it before it even went up.
Okay. Either before it goes up or when it's on the mizbeach before it started to burn. You got to make sure you don't allow the ginanasha to get burnt on top of the mizbeach, because that's an avera. Because it says Mimashki Yisrael, and the ginanasha is trash. Because he holds like the chachamim. Even though the rest of the animal is kosher, it will still be a violation of Mashki Yisrael. So what does the Gemara say? Meisvei the Eskakasha. There's a brisa that says Ginanashel Shel Shlamim, a korban shlamim. Korban shlamim, the Bailam eat it. If they're Torah, they eat the korban shlamim. So what do you do? Mechabda, you have to cut it out to make sure that the Bailam doesn't eat it. Rashi over here is bothered. Why is the guy cutting the shlamim in the azara? The chatas and the ashim have to be eaten in the azara. Nechal zichri kuna only in the azara. The shlamim is a kachim kam eaten in Yerushalayim. So why are they cutting out the gidanasha of the shlamim in the azara? So Rashi thinks maybe it's a misprint. Maybe you shouldn't say gidanasha shal shlamim. Maybe you should say gidanasha shal chatas v'yashim. Or maybe it goes, the chaz of the shaykav shlamim you have to give to the kohanim. But it's kachim kalim, that the kohanim don't have to eat it in the azara, but they're going to eat the chatas and the ashim in the azara. So maybe they'll eat the chaz of the shaykav the shlamim also in the azara when they're eating. They eat fleshiks, breakfast, lunch, and supper. All three meals a day, they eat fleshiks. Mestama, they eat once a day. Some of them eat breakfast fleshiks, some they have to eat all the karbanas. So some of them have Cheerios for breakfast, they have fleshiks for lunch. They have a tuna fish sandwich for lunch, then they have fleshiks for supper. So in conjunction with eating the chatas and the yoshim and the azara, Rashi says, Mestama, the karim going to eat the chazav shokad v'shlamim also in the azara. But that's what the Bryce is discussing. Somebody's eating shlamim in the azara, and he has to cut out the ginar nasha. He throws it on the floor, and they sweep it. Mechabdo la'ama. The ama means the garbage can. There was an amas amayim that the water passed in the azara. So whenever there was junk, they would sweep it into the amas amayim. It would get flushed out. It would be removed. It's like throwing it in the garbage. So the korban shlamim people eat. So you have to make sure you remove the ginar nasha. Mishal oila. But if it's a ginar nasha, the korban oila, malehu. Then you put it on top of the mizbeach. So, what do you mean? My love, pashup shat maleh, maleh umaktiro, and you let it burn on the mizbeach, you maktir it. So, why did Rav Huna say, get a nasha shalala, you have to cut it out and throw it in the garbage into the tapuach? No, it says in the braisa maleh. Pashup shat maleh, maleh umaktiro. And the verse says, no, maleh umecholzo. You put it on top of the mizbech, and then you have to cut out the ginanasha and throw it in the garbage. So the Gemara says, so why do you have to be maleu? Me'achas shecholzo. But if he's going to cut it out and throw it in the garbage, so lama maleu. Why does he first put it, like you asked before, why does he put it on the mizbech, and then he cuts out the ginanasha? Cut out the ginanasha, the treif of fat, before you put it on top of the mizbech. The Gemara says, no, m'shim shenem ha'kaveh no lefecho secho. The goyim don't like the fact that the Jews removed the Ginanasha. They like to have a whole yerech of the animal all intact. We have to butcher up the animal. We have to cut out the whole, you have to cut out the whole inside parts and yank out the whole Ginanasha. So it's not the kovedik from the mizbech to take a yerech of a behema that's all butchered up. We cut it all up and then we put a used piece of flesh. It's not the kovedik. Just like if you give to a goy, if you give a matana to a goy, you should pechos, a goy, you should governor, so you give him a kovedik thing. You wouldn't give him a butchered up yerech. So same thing on the mizbech. It's not the kovedik to cut off the ginanasha first and then put the yerech that's all butchered up on top of the mizbech. What the kovedik is to put the whole thing, mechubad, boycha, mechubad on the mizbech, and then you cut out the ginanasha. Shoy. So you can't tell from the braisa whether Rav Huna is right. Rav Huna thinks that to get on Nosha of a carbon oil law, you should not burn on the mizbech. That was the machlekes Rebbe and the Chacham. He thought we should pass from like the Chacham. Tani Kavasi Rafuni, there's a brisa that says like Rafuni get a nasha shel shlamim mechabda lo oma shel oila cholzo le tapuach. Says beferish cholzo le tapuach. Okay, we'll stop over here. The next Gemara is an entertaining Gemara, but it's not really connected with this. In this week's Seder, we have the mitzvah number 613, the last mitzvah of the Tariq mitzvah, is Ksiva Sefer Torah. The Pasha Pshat and the Pasuk doesn't say that at all. Pasha Pshat, HaKadosh Baruch is telling Moshe Rabbeinu and Yeshua, Bin Nun, Kisva Lachem Es Hashira Hazois, they should write down Hazinu, V'lam Des Bnei Yisrael Sima B'fiyam, and then recite it to Bnei Yisrael. Unlike the rest of the Torah was first Moshe Oymer V'Kosev. Moshe Rabbeinu had it first delivered the Nevuah to Bnei Yisrael, and then after he delivered it, and he delivered the message, and had a Chaloshem Nevuah in these Boyer Nivsuasayim, you pronounce the Nevuah with your lips. So after he delivered the Dinam Abos B'cholav and Shabbos and Kashrus and Karas HaMishpacha, so then he was instructed by Kodesh Baruch to write it down in the Torah. And here was Fakert, that's how the Nitziv points out. She was Hazinu was Fakert. First kiss for Lachem is Hashir Hazos. What is a kiss for Lachem? You and Yeshua. That's who it's talking about. Bon Shalom tells two of them. You should write down Hazinu, then V'lam Des B'nei Yisrael Simenfim. So that's the Pashup Shat in the Pasuk. Then the Gemara says there's an additional level of interpretation. Not Lefi Pshuto, kiss for Lachem is Hashir Hazos, speaking to all the Jewish people, the Dairi Dairis, that all the Jewish people, question only the men or the women also, are obligated to write the Sefer Torah. How does it? Shira. Kisvah Hemes HaShira HaZois. Shira means Shira is Hazino. Next week, after Tzomayel, comes Hazino. So the Rambam says, it means you should write the Sefer Torah that contains the Shira in it. HaShira is Hazino in it. Except this question, the Rambam usually has the klal lefi pshuta shel mikra. This is Zohar Shoah. This is once in the history of the world. The Rambam Shalom tells Moshe Yeshua, write down Parshas Hazin and then deliver the Nevuah. Once they wrote it down, so there's nothing more to do. It's not going to be repeated again. Like when the Rambam Shalom told Moshe Rabbeinu, Hare mismatcha layam uvkoeyu. You should accomplish kriyas yamsa. That's not, the Rambam says that doesn't count as one of the Taryag Mitzvah. That was once in the history of the world. Whatever Zohar Shoah is not included in the Minyan HaMitzvahs. So really, the Pasuk Lefi Pshut is Zohar Shoah. Kisvah Lachem Es HaShira Hazos. The Torah Shebal Peh has an additional level of interpretation. We assume that this was the author's intention. When the Rabbanu Shel Olam dictated the Chumash to Moshe Rabbeinu, word for word, letter for letter, and he told him this Pasuk, the Rabbanu Shel Olam intended more than one Kavanah. Intended the Pshut Shel Mikra, which was the Zohar Shoah, and he intended also the additional level of interpretation, which is a mitzvah l'dorot. But that's a question. Why does the Rambam include it in the Minyan HaMitzvahs? The Rambam has the first klal. The Rambam has 14 klalim, 14 sharoshim, the way the Sefer HaMitzvah was written in Arabic originally. We use the Hebrew, those of us that don't know Arabic, so we use the Hebrew translation. So in the Hebrew translation, I think by Al-Kharizi, I forgot about you, so he calls it the 14 sharoshim. We call it in the modern Hebrew translation, call it the 14 klalim. He calls it the 14 sharoshim. So the first klal is you don't include mitzvahs derabbanan. Tariag mitzvahs namalon moshim b'sinai, only mitzvahs deraisa. Then the second klal is you only include mitzvahs that are lefi pshuta shel mikra. Whatever is a drasha of the Torah shebal peh, you don't include, because in every generation the chacham can darshan an additional mitzvah. So there are going to be more than 613 mitzvahs. In every generation they added on it. The Rambam holds that in every generation they had a right to darshan additional interpretations of Pesukim. The Rambam quotes in the Hagdamah to the Pirush HaMishnayos, the Rambam quotes the Gaonim who said otherwise. Their opinion was you cannot use the Midrash HaTorah and the Drash HaSpem to darshan any new didim. You have to have everything be Masari. You have to have a Kabbalah on every single thing. Kol Masha Talmud Vasiv Gosel L'Chadish had to be Nemal Olamosha Misinai. So what do you use the Midrash HaTorah and the Drash HaSpem for? What is it all about? No, the Midrash HaTorah and the Drash HaSpem had to check yourself to make sure that your tradition is correct. But you must have a tradition on everything. And the Rambam says that it's absolutely not correct at all. Every single din had the Kabbalah, so how can there be so much machlokes in the Gemara? So every machlokes is based on shikha. They simply forgot what the tradition was. So that's an embarrassment for the Jewish people, the Rambam says. If you got 98% of the Torah, everything is a machlokes. They forgot Kemat Kola Torah Kula. So the Ram says, not true. Whenever they had a tradition for Moshe Rabbeinu, there's no room for any machlekes. There wouldn't be any machlekes. Machlekes is when a new issue came up, and each chacham has a right to darshan the psukim the way he sees fit. The Gemara says, Eiron and Dong Zereshavim Me'atzman Ken Kibla Mirabo. But the others, you can darshan on your own. So the Rambam Lishitasa holds. In every generation, the Besna has a right to darshan additional levels of interpretation in the Chumash, even though they don't have a tradition. You have to have a tradition about attitudes. What makes sense to darshan? So then the Bez in every generation can add on more drasha. They're going to add on more drasha. It's going to be more than 613 mitzvahs. So they have to throw out some mitzvahs from before. So the Rambam says, no, you start with 613 mitzvahs lefi pshuto shel mikra. The Rambam includes Kiddush is one of the 613 mitzvahs because it says Zocha Shem Shabbos Lekacho. Zocha means to mention. We usually translate Zocha, remember the day of Shabbos to keep it holy. The Rambam says, no, Zocha means lahaskir. You should mention Kedushas Hayam. So the question is that Pshuta Shal Mikra? That's Pshuta Shal Mikra. Zochas Ham Shabbos Lakacho. To mention the Kedushas HaShabbos, to endow the day with additional Kedusha. It's going to be Kaddish. The day is going to be Kaddish even if you won't recite Kiddush. But by your reciting Kiddush, you endow the day with additional Kedusha. Is that Pshuta Shal Mikra? So the Rambam insists, yes. How does he know? Because the Gemara in Brachas has a statement. Noshim Chayav is B'Kiddush Hayam Dvar Torah. Women are Mechayav in Kiddush. Despite the fact that Kiddush should have really been a mitzvah seseh, Shazman Grama, women are mechayiv in Kiddush, and don't think that it's only midirabbanan. No, Dvar Torah, it's Minat Torah. The Gemara explains how you know that. So the Rambam claims that those two words, Dvar Torah, means Pshuto Shel Mikra. Vezot. How did the Rambam know that the two words mean Pshuto Shel Mikra? He says if it weren't Pshuto Shel Mikra, he wouldn't have included it in Minyan HaMitzvahs. Whatever is only an additional level of interpretation of the Torah Shebal Peh, he's not going to include it in the Minyan HaMitzvah. So that's the problem with the mitzvah number 613. The Pshuto Shel Mikra, Kisvu Lachem HaShir HaZayis, was a Hayrah Shoah that was told to Moshe and Yeshua they should write down Hazinu and then deliver the Nevuah to Bnei Yisrael. It wasn't repeated again in history. This is an additional level of interpretation. Kisvu Lachem is a tzivui to all the Jewish people and all the future generations. Everybody should participate in Ksiva Sevita. So that's a pella, why the Rambam does include it in the Minyan HaMitzvah. The Rambam has a chiddush that only men are mechuyev. How do we know that? Women are not mechuyev in Ksiva's Sevita. So the Shagasai disagrees with the Rambam. Well, why shouldn't women be mechuyev also? They're going to say, because if a woman writes in Sevita, the Gemara says in Gittin, it'll be possible. Gemara learns that from a pasuk, that a woman cannot write OCS and a Sefer Torah. One of the modern Orthodox shuls in Manhattan advertised in the newspaper incorrectly that they're going to have Siyam Sefer Torah, they're going to fill in OCS, and they're going to have women fill in OCS also. So when people called them up, what do you mean? How can you have women fill in OCS? They said, no, they didn't mean that. It meant that women could come and ask the Sefer to fill in the OCS for them. Not that the women are going to fill in the OCS. People thought that they already went crazy. So that. They didn't mean anything by that. So the Shagazari says, why shouldn't women be mechuyev to mitzvah ksivas sefer? If a woman writes a sefer to herself, it would be possible. The woman is mechuyev to commission a sefer. The woman is mechuyev to chip in, to give $10 when the community decides to write a sefer. So the women should chip in a little money also. And we assume you write in the mitzvah ksivas sefer Torah b'shutfus. So the Shagazari disagrees with the Rav. He thinks that women are also mechuyev. They have to commission a man to write the Sefer Torah. How did the Rambam know that the women are potter from the mitzvah? So the Beis Halevi has a famous explanation. He says, "How did Ben Salih pass the kiss for Chemes Hashir Azos? V'lam des bnei Yisrael sima b'fim." So the Pshuto Shel Mikra is Moshe v'Aaron kiss for Lachem in the plural. Moshe v'Aaron should write Shiras Hazina, and only afterwards should they deliver this nevuah to bnei Yisrael. But according to the additional level of interpretation, so how do you read the pasuk? Kisvu Lachem is talking to the whole Jewish people. And then what's V'lamdas B'nai Yisrael? What does that mean? It means you should write a Sefer Torah in order that you should have it available. You should be able to learn Torah whenever you want. So the Beis Halevi interprets that since women are not mechuyev to learn Torah all day and all night, women have to learn the dinim that are relevant to them. But that's not really a mitzvah of Talmud Torah. That's a hechsher mitzvah. In order to be able to keep the laws of Shabbos and Kashrus and Taras HaMishpacha, So the Mela, they have to learn the Dinim. But it's not really a mitzvah of Ne'atzma of Talmud Torah. So this pasuk says the purpose of Kisvah Lechemes Hashir Azayis, the purpose is V'lamda, in order to be able to learn. So since the women are part of Talmud Torah, so they're not mechuyev in the mitzvah of Ksivah Sefer Torah either. Even though usually we say Lo Dashin in time of the Krah, even though you know what the reason for the mitzvah is, and you have a situation where the reason the Talmud mitzvah doesn't apply, so we say the mitzvah still applies. Lo Dashin in time of the Krah, the reason for the mitzvah doesn't regulate the application of the mitzvah. Even when the reason doesn't apply, the mitzvah still applies. So the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, that's only if the Chumash doesn't say the Feirish, the reason next to the mitzvah. Like it says, L'sachol beged almona. You're not allowed to take a mashkin from an almona of clothing. So the Chumash doesn't give the reason. The Tanoim give the reason. So even though the Tanoim gave a good reason, and in certain cases the reason doesn't apply, since the Chumash didn't give the reason, so lo dashin in time to come. Here the Chumash gives the reason. Here it says, Kisvah lechem v'lamdas b'nei Yisrael. The purpose of the mitzvah, Ksiva Sefer Torah, is you should have a Sefer Torah, you should have a Jewish library, so you'll be able to learn whenever you want to. So since the women are potter from Talmud Torah, so the reason for the mitzvah doesn't apply. So the whole mitzvah doesn't apply to the women. That's what the Rambam thinks. But when they have Ksiva Sefer Torah, a lot of women do want to chip in. They want to participate according to the Shagas Aryeh. There was some mechuyev. So there was some Talmud Chacham from Gorpa came up with a kakai chiddush that if a woman donates money towards the cause, shlucha shalom kamaisai. So when the sefer writes the sefer Torah for the woman, it's going to be possible, because if a woman writes a sefer Torah, it's possible. But the woman didn't write the sefer Torah. The woman appointed a man to write the sefer Torah. Pashto said it's certainly not correct. If a woman wants to be machma like the Shagasai holds that women are mechuyev, how can it passel the whole sefer Torah? The Ram holds they're not mechuyev, but if they want to pitch in and chip in, it doesn't passel. This became a more popular mitzvah in recent years. A group of people just wrote a new Sefer Torah for the Beis Medrash, in my honor. I appreciate it very much. And they're learning from that Sefer Torah. The meaning is when they donate a new Sefer Torah, so the first year, they learn everything from that Sefer Torah. So it's still in the middle of the first Shana Rishayna. They're still celebrating Shana Rishayna. So they're still learning from that Sefer Torah. So in recent years, this mitzvah became more popular. So I'd be as a girl, we should continue to see the Sefer Torah. Maybe next week we'll learn in Yoni Rosh Hashanah. Mr. Baffer didn't know that there was a sheet, so I was waiting for him.
I figured that out.
Then I called him up.